You're listening to the Pesky Report, a podcast dedicated to the Boston Red Sox by Red Sox fans. Report is happy to announce that we will be sponsored by High and Happy Catering out of Springfield, Massachusetts. High and Happy Catering creates gourmet meals for small or large events with a twist. All of their meals are cannabis infused. If you are looking to have a real happy meal, call them at 413-785-8999 or search for them on Instagram at High and Happy Catering. You'll be happy you did.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Pesky Report brought to you by Belly Up Sports. My name is Brad Chandler. This is episode number 93. Can you guys believe we've done 93 of these?
Yeah, it's kind of fucking crazy if you think about it.
Nuts.
Yeah. In your mouth. With me today, as usual, are my co-hosts Hogtail and Brady. How are we doing this evening, gentlemen?
Just terrible. I mean, and I'm offended that you would ask. How about you, Brady?
I'm laughing. That one got me, Brad. I'm gonna, you know, not that I liked it, but that's a good start. So I'm great.
The nuts in your mouth.
I just thought it was the timing was nice. It was a good job. I'm just kudos.
Kudos. Yeah.
Kudos.
So, gentlemen, we had a homework assignment for this week. We had to watch or do our research on the first three games of the 2004 ALCS. And it's going to be a sad kind of episode today. Also, I wanted to start off kind of not talking about baseball news. Bob Saget passed away.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Betty White died too.
Yeah, I mean, not for anything, but Betty White was old as shit. And she was bound to pass away, like.
Oh, and Bob said he was also not bound to pass away. Okay.
I mean, the guy was 65. That's pretty goddamn young.
Bob Saget is a skin-stealing lizard man, and he was going to live forever, according to Brad.
Jesus. Well, I mean, Dale, what the fuck?
100 years. She was 99, you know? Like, all right, so I'm going to start off with a fucked-up joke. You want to hear a fucked-up joke?
Why not? Let's alienate the viewer base, Brad. Go ahead.
What was the difference between Ryan Dunn and Betty White?
What was that, Brad?
Ryan Dunn hit 100 before he passed.
Oh, edgy. Edgy joke. Someone said that exact joke to me today, but they used Paul Walker.
Yeah, I mean, that's another one. Yeah. Any Betty White jokes are just too soon. Way too soon. She was such
we're
a
grieving. Sweetheart. Damn it.
I just love that Hogdale's like, listen, so a 65-year-old guy died? So who gives a shit? But a 99-year-old woman died. Let's make sure that we fucking, like, what listen, is, you have a Golden Girls thing. I know you do.
I didn't watch Full House, and he was off of, you know, what was it, AFT? What was it called?
Yeah.
America's Funniest Home Videos or whatever.
Yeah, AFV. Yeah, he was not the host by the time I started watching. So I just, you know, I relate. I get the people who are grieving. You know, it's like America's Dad. I missed the boat on that one.
I didn't. I mean, I watched him on Full House, but I will never forget watching him on Half Baked when Dave Chappelle was in there. And he's like, "Hi, I'm whatever his name was in that movie." He goes, "Hey, I'm so-and-so, and I'm a drug addict." "Oh, yeah, what kind of drugs do you do?" And he's like, "I smoke pot." And then fucking Bob Saget's like, "You ever suck dick for pot?" I was like, fucking Christ, this is Danny Tanner.
He's great.
Yeah, no. It was great. R.I.P. And then after, I watched some of his stand-ups and stuff, and I was just like, holy shit, he was depicted as some, like, nice, like, really nice guy, and man, he's a fucking douchebag.
You know, when you think about it, though, man, it's really, he's lucky that the internet wasn't a thing when he got the job for Full House or for America's Funniest Home Videos, because there's no way that anyone, you know, YouTubing his stand-up would have been like, we're going to put him on a wholesome sitcom and a wholesome video show that everyone, you can watch with your kids. Let's put this guy who's talking about all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah. So, we are going to be joined by a gentleman who reached out to the podcast page. I believe it was yesterday. Was it yesterday or Saturday? Either way, we're going to be joined by Andrew Bellevue, who is the creator, founder of Gastroparesis. I fucked that up, didn't I?
No, you did good.
No, you got it. You did it.
The Gastroparesis Pie Face Challenge. So let's welcome him in. Hey, Andrew, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. So you reached out to the podcast page. I run the page, and I happened to see it, and you were just like, hey, can you just retweet this or quote tweet this so that Kike Hernandez can see my challenge that I'm laying out for him? No idea what it meant, what it was for, whatever. So I'm going to give you the floor and let everybody who's listening know what it is that this is for.
Sure. So the Gastroparesis Pie Face Challenge is for a condition that I and millions of others suffer with called gastroparesis. And what that is basically the paralyzation of the stomach, meaning you cannot eat, digest, or absorb nutrients. It affects everyone differently, but for me, my two main symptoms were constant nausea and vomiting about 10 to 15 times a day. So pretty much, as you can imagine, life was, you know, sucked. Whether it was, you know, I was diagnosed when I was 11, and I'm now 24 for context. So I've lived with this condition for years, and it's been very difficult to have, you know, any semblance of a normal childhood and early adulthood. So unfortunately, there's no known cure for it, but I do have a gastric stimulator, which is basically like a pacemaker for your stomach. And that has helped control my symptoms. And I got that around age 15. But unfortunately, that device doesn't always work for everyone, as well as it has for me. So seeing as how I was one of the lucky ones, I decided to launch the Gastroparesis Pie Face Challenge in 2016 in hopes that I could do the same for gastroparesis as what Pete Frates and his family accomplished for ALS.
That's absolutely amazing. That's awesome. Before your post, I've never even heard of this disease. I didn't know it existed. You know, and I'm glad that you reached out to us. You actually reached out to us because it gives, you know, Hogdale and I were talking about it. It was something that, like I said, neither one of us knew about. And now we know. So like, what happened? Is this like something that's like your body is just like, I don't know how to actually ask the question, but how do you get this? Or
So like the way gastroparesis is, most of the times, or the most common cause, is idiopathic, meaning that it's unknown. There are the second leading causes from like diabetes, but that's really it. It's a lot of the majority of those with gastroparesis, they don't know where it comes from. It just kind of develops over time. Some people are born with it. Some develop it on, you know, early on. Some develop later on in life. There's really just not enough research to know, you know, how it, you know, is being, you know, how you acquire it, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. Mm-hmm.
Andrew, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I know you said that, you know, the device, you know, really works well for you. For those that it doesn't work well for, mm-hmm. how do they get their nutrients? Is it, you know, through like a feeding tube, or is it really, you know, trying to eat and getting what you can, but not staying down? How does that work?
Right. So the majority of those with gastroparesis tend to be fed through a feeding tube. So that's where they get their nutrients a lot.
Ooh. Andrew, come back.
you froze there.
Oh, sorry. Can you guys hear me okay?
No problem. Yeah.
Okay. So my family, you know, just backtrack a little bit. My family didn't want to go necessarily to the last resort, which was our feed, which was the feeding tube, because I was so young. So we tried, you know, various different medications. We tried, you know, acupuncture, diet modifications, you know, everything known to man. And we landed on like the stimulator, and there was a fight to get it through insurance, but luckily, you know, it's worked pretty well.
Insurance is a motherfucker, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was craziness, but.
So with the device, are you able to, do you still have to really watch, you know, certain foods that really aggravate the you know, symptoms, or for you, does the device work that well?
For me, the device works, you know, really well, that like, I don't have to watch what I eat. You know, I'm a big lover of spicy foods, Italian food. So that was my first meal when I actually got the stimulator, was I had a nice bowl of pasta Alfredo. It was awesome to finally enjoy something after, you know, so many years of not being able to enjoy it. But yeah, I really have no restrictions, and it's really giving me my life back. I just wish it worked for everyone.
All right. So you have a video on your page that I wanted to share with everybody, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You okay with it? All right.
Yeah, go for it.
The pie in the face routine has been a source of smiles for over a century. But these pies, made by 20-year-old Andrew Bellevue and his family, serve a much more serious purpose: to raise awareness for gastroparesis.
So gastroparesis is essentially basically like the paralyzation of your stomach, meaning that you can't eat, digest, or absorb any nutrients. It's basically kind of like living life with the stomach flu every single day of your life.
Andrew was diagnosed with the rare stomach disorder in January of 2009 at the age of 11. He lost over 20 pounds due to the constant vomiting.
I mean, I couldn't go out to parties and do normal social activities, and it's just a very isolating condition.
Assuming he was feeling good enough to go out of the house, you know, wherever we would go, one of the first things that I would do would be, okay, where's the closest bathroom?
As a parent, your concerns are, oh my God, how's he going to make it through high school, and how's he going to get a job, and how's he going to raise a family, and, you know, life as we knew it normally didn't exist anymore.
For over 3 years, baseball was his oasis, both playing, when his body allowed him, and watching his favorite team, the Boston Red Sox. But in 2012, Andrew's life changed. He had a gastric pacemaker inserted, which provides stimulation to the stomach nerves and helps relieve nausea.
I couldn't immediately tell the difference. Like, I didn't feel any nausea at all. The results that I've had with the gastric stimulator, like, not a lot of people have, because the success rates vary from patient to patient, but I've been extremely lucky, and it just worked for me right off the bat.
With his newfound strength, Andrew is now fighting for those who haven't been as fortunate.
All right, so this is the start of the gastroparesis pie face challenge. The rules are pretty much simple. You just have to smash a pie in your face, post it on the official Facebook page, and share it on your own personal social media account.
I personally have gastroparesis.
Andrew Bellevue, thank you for starting the gastroparesis pie face challenge.
That's just so cool, dude. I mean, I'm happy we can have you on, because the sad thing is with like cases like these, it's like, research is just driven by money, and like, you gotta put spotlight on it, get more money in to get more research. It's yeah, I feel for like guys who have a condition like you. It's a bummer. It sucks. And yeah,
it sucks, but you just gotta do everything that you can to bring attention to it, whether it's you know, throwing pies or dumping water, you know, anything to do it.
I joined the ice bucket challenge. I did it actually a couple times, because people kept challenging me and whatnot. So I'm going to do the pie face challenge tomorrow.
Oh, that's awesome.
And what I'd like to know is where can we make a donation, if anybody's looking to make a donation to the research?
Sure. So you can donate at g-pact.org. The organization's GPACT. Just make sure that you put the hyphen in there, because there is an organization that has
Can you send
without a hyphen?
Can you send me that on Twitter?
Yeah, I can definitely do that.
Yeah, we'll put the link in the podcast.
Awesome.
Like, tweet out.
Can you do that right now?
Yeah, sure.
So I'll post that up so everybody can find it.
Andrew, yeah. I think it's awesome that a lot of times, when people are lucky to kind of overcome some physical ailments, they're like, great, I got it. Cool, move on. Thank God for me. The fact that you're going back and trying to help those who aren't as fortunate is really fucking awesome.
It's just awesome, dude. It's cool.
I appreciate that. I mean, like I said, I could easily be, someone who's worse off, than what I am right now. So, and I very well much know that. So I don't take it for granted and just try to do what I can.
That's fantastic. Thank you on behalf of, everyone who's as fortunate as you, and for those that are not, but I think it's admirable.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So we don't want to, have like sad beginnings and whatnot. So we are a Red Sox podcast. So let's talk a little bit about Red Sox here.
Okay? Sure.
So you're 24 years old and you have been a Red Sox fan for how long?
Lifelong.
Lifelong.
Oh yeah.
From the womb to the tomb.
From the womb to the tomb. You got it.
So someone said that on the Twitter page. I
love it.
The Ben Affleck picture that I posted a couple days ago, which I can't believe that 125,000 like impressions on that. I couldn't believe it. But who was your favorite baseball player? Was it Pedroia? Because I saw you.
Oh yeah. If I had to give a top three, it would be John Lester. Just because he got sick when I first got sick. So I drew a lot of inspiration from him.
That makes sense.
Pedroia and Brock Holt would be my third.
I'm shocked I did not hear Poppy in that one.
I don't dislike Poppy, but I just always go for everyone.
The underdogs.
The underdogs. Everyone goes Poppy, Pedro, Manny. Oh, I do have to say all-time favorite Red Sox is definitely Noma. He's the one who got me into baseball, so.
And you know what? Can you say that again? Because I just loved how you said it. You said Noma. You didn't say Nomar. You said Noma.
Noma. That's right.
You were you a big Kevin Mala guy too?
Oh yeah, I love Mala. Who else we got? Pedroia.
Yeah. How about Kevin Pillar when he was with the Red Sox?
Oh yeah, Pillar. Yep. Pillar.
Yep. I could honestly do this all fucking day. It's just throw names in.
I'm seriously shocked I haven't heard either one of you go, can you say Pack the Cat?
I know.
Shut the fuck up.
I went to school out west, like in west of Massachusetts. I'm from 15 miles north of Boston. And you would have thought they've never heard a Boston accent before up there. It was the strangest thing.
I remember the first time I heard a Boston accent, I was like, wait a minute, what in the fuck was that? Can you say, I was born in the South. So I was born in Alabama. So I was like, yes, Miami, no Miami, shit like that. Mm-hmm. And then when I moved, I live in Connecticut. When I moved to Connecticut, I didn't know what Boston accent was. And the first time it was someone from, I think they were from Providence actually. And they kind of had that kind of accent going on. I was like, wait a minute. And my first question to them was, can you just say park the car for me? And I said, park the car.
Oh,
man. And they were like, yes, pack. There is no R's.
Right.
So out of the four World Series, which one was your favorite?
I would have to say 13 just because.
Dude, man of taste. 13. That's the correct answer.
Because of everything that went on with the bombing.
That was so sick.
But
Brady, why are you shaking your head?
Because Brady is an 04 homer.
Because it has to be 04. Listen, 2013 is definitely number two.
No, no.
I mean, if I was, older when in 04, I probably would have said 04, but I was only 5'6". So
the only way that 13 is 02 is because, or is 2 is because it shits on 04. So it's number 2. It shits on 04 because it's number 1. It's
07, just way up here. 07 does not get the,
it doesn't.
Love. No,
it does. I do love that 07 team, but it's fourth for me.
Like 07 and 18 just really do not get the love that 04 and 13 would get.
because 07, that was just like a great baseball team. Like they were just like really good the whole year. And 18 is like a steroided version of that. We're like, we're just like the best Red Sox team ever. And that's what we're just going to do.
Pedroia went to Coors Field and he was like, don't you know who the fuck I am?
Andrew, who's your like kind of under the radar guy from this past Red Sox season?
I like Arroyo. I think Arroyo can be a nice, solid, you know, bench
if he can stay healthy.
I wish he could just stay healthy because I love him. He's a good energy guy.
He is a great energy guy. And I mean, you know, now that we have JBJ back in the folds, Kike's, you know, maybe moving over to second full time. You know, I think he's, you know, eventually.
I think that would be a mistake.
I mean, I think there's a missing piece that we don't know about yet to fill that right field void, but I just don't know what it is.
It's Seiya Suzuki season, boys. We all know it. Did you see the podcast with Koji?
Like, yes,
that was amazing.
He's like pestering him about it. Like the first time, he's like, so where are you going, huh? Where
are you going? So who are you signing with? The Red Sox?
I don't think it will be him, but I think there's still something that we don't know yet.
There's definitely some shit brewing.
I got into it with somebody on a Facebook group. I said that JD and Dahlbeck are going to be gone. And somebody got really irritated and said that Cassis is going to be the first baseman at the end of this season. And he was like, Cassis is going to learn a new position. I was like, there's no possible way that they're going to make their number two prospect learn a different position. And he's been going through single A, double A, and he's in triple A. And he's the first baseman and every single one of those. There's no way that they're going to make him learn another position. So Dahlbeck is either going to go to third and Devers will go to DH, or I don't know.
We'll see. I think what that's possible too. I don't think that's
what happens with Kyle from Waltham.
I'd like to have him back. I enjoyed
him back so bad.
I would too.
Who knows?
That would be a lefty, lefty, lefty heavy lineup, though. That's the problem.
JBJ is not staying too long, and he's not going to be like a part of the equation for the outfield. He's not going to be like an everyday outfielder. I believe that the way they should do it is they should have Kike and JBJ out in left and right, or not left and right, center and right. Because we have, you know, if you're in right field, it's basically like needing another center fielder.
Right.
So
I think Duran is the guy who's getting shipped out. I think he's the I think JBJ is the fourth outfielder. And if he plays up and things work awesome, then you have a little comfort because you can always move Kike almost anywhere and he'll be good. Right. But I think Duran is the guy to go out for some pitching. Chris Bassett, maybe, please. Okay.
You're trying to speak into existence for months now. I would love Chris Bassett.
Shamania.
I'd like him too.
An A's starting pitcher of one of them.
Yeah.
I'll take anybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for whoever Brady doesn't want.
That's a dick move, man. That's kind of
who said I'm not a dick? I mean, come on.
Nobody.
All right, Andrew. So let everybody know where they can find you on Twitter and you have another Twitter page for the pie face challenge. Is that
correct?
Yes. Yeah. So give everybody your information so that they can connect with you.
Sure. So you can, if you want to follow me and share the video to Kike, you can follow me at jingle_bells_25. No, very festive original. And then if you want to follow any information related to the challenge or gastroparesis, you can follow the Twitter page at GP Pieface.
And I'm going to share that right now. And there you go. Jingle_bells_25. All right. I got to ask, what was that for? Just Christmas?
My nickname is Bells, and I haven't changed it since high school. And I created my Twitter account around Christmas time. So I just kind of did.
Genius.
Yeah, very next genius. Level. All right, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us. I will make sure to post that that video tomorrow. I have to go get me some whipped cream. Are you guys gonna do it?
Yes, I will.
Yeah, I'll do it. Fucking awesome.
I'm looking forward to it.
And big we will also
yes.
Well, I do have some whipped cream sitting in my refrigerator right now, but it's kind of empty because all I kept doing was one of these. After my smoking, so
I gotta go big or pie trying. That's what I like to say.
pie trying. I like it. All right, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us. And we will send you those videos tomorrow.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity. And let's hope we have a baseball season soon.
Oh God, I hope so.
Well, we have Manfred and Tony Clark freaking being the...
God, don't fucking remind us. Jesus, Brad. We're trying to be happy. This is an uplifting podcast and you're bringing us down.
Well, if it's uplifting, why are we talking about the first three games of the ALCS?
Oh my God.
All right, take it easy, Andrew.
All right, take care. Man. Thank you once again.
How are you doing, man? Thanks for coming on.
All right. That was fun, man. Nice to finally like get some information. Like I said before, I had no idea what that disease was. I'm definitely going to go, and every time I hear about like pie, I'm like, you have a cream pie.
Oh my god.
But no, I'm seriously going to Jesus Christ. What the fuck was that?
I'm going to need a minute.
I'm going to need a fucking minute here. Holy shit.
Oh.
Holy fuck, dude. Holy
everything, fuck. Everything's wrong.
Yeah.
I saw way too much.
And he doesn't have his headphones on, so he can't hear us fucking complaining about this.
Oh.
Oh my God, dude.
Be cool.
Jesus fucking Christ, Grant.
What?
Your ass crack. The whole world saw it.
Good. Anyway, Gear Sapphire drinking water in the background. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad we have ambient noises to support the pod.
Whew. Oh, man. Everything that is wrong.
I need a hug.
I'll give you a virtual one because I need one too.
Thanks, buddy. I fucking need it right now. Things are wow. All right. Well, how do you get the pod back on track? Show your ass crack. And then now we're back. We're depressed now again. Like we were feeling good. We're optimistic with Andrew.
I kind of want to go elsewhere here. And seeming as though we are talking about the Boston Red Sox versus the New York Yankees. I wanted to talk about the fact that the Yankees just hired or gave the first female managerial job for a minor league team. Trying to remember her name.
I'm going to go ahead and just applaud while you're looking at the name.
Her name. Yeah.
Yeah,
we're not Yankee fans, but I mean, this is good. This is good for baseball.
Get more women in baseball.
Absolutely. Her name is Rachel Bakovic. She is going to be a Tarpon, a Tampa Tarpon. Is that what it was?
That sounds right.
I believe it was Tampa Tarpon.
The hell's a Tarpon?
Yeah, it is the Tampa Tarpons. Tarpons, isn't that the thing that you fucking like?
No, that's a harpoon.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, at least I was in the same poons. Wow, that okay. just sounded okay. wrong.
Okay.
Anyway. Sorry. Was definitely Ice Sapphire. But yeah, that's fucking amazing. Now, here's another thing that was pretty cool. Did you guys see the female pitcher out in Australia?
Oh, yeah. I did see that. That was cool.
Nice big sweeping breaking ball. Look good.
Her name was Genevieve Beacom. And she kind of looked, I don't know if you saw it, but she kind of had a John Lester delivery.
Now, what's the last name?
Hold on. It is Beacom.
Almost like
Beacon.
She's got a cool name because it like sounds like Be Gone. Like, you know, it strikes on there like Be Gone. That's what I would.
So. Genevieve Beacom has made history as the first female pitcher for an Australian professional baseball team. She's 17 years old. The 17-year-old Beacom appeared in the three-game Melbourne Challenge Series, which was organized after the 2021-22 Australian Baseball League was canceled because of COVID-19.
Fucking COVID.
I kind of want to...
COVID ruins everything.
It really does.
Really did.
Like, for real. Like,
it's very undude.
Mm-hmm. 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 Hey, Brad, while you're looking up, I read a pretty awesome article today, though, about the Red Sox. Yeah, I don't know if this...
Go ahead.
Did you read Tanner Houck had a nice interview, and he said that his splitter is where it needs to be, that it's major league ready, and he's ready to have the best season of his career. And I was like, well, A, you really haven't had a full season yet, so, I mean, there's not many to compare it to. However, the confidence, the swag, and he's like, I'm ready to be a starting pitcher in the rotation. It was like, fuck to the yeah. Working out with Justin Verlander and I believe Scherzer. And I'm like, that's
Jesus Christ. If you're going to fucking hang out with anybody, those are like two of the best pitchers to be hanging out with.
Right.
Unless it's Chris Sale.
I just hope Houck ends up just being a complete fucking psycho. Like, because that's why I love Max Scherzer so much. Like, I love the energy.
Here we go. You guys ready? Pitching Four. Ninja did a fastball curveball overlay.
Okay.
Really does have that John Lester
free and easy motion.
Yeah, it's just that delivery is just so amazing. It's like so cool. 17 years old.
That's awesome.
Strike my ass out over and over again.
Did a pitching ninja do the overlay or something? Yeah, that's cool.
Awesome.
So I love his work. His work is fucking awesome.
Pitching ninja is sick. I love him.
Just watching that is just fucking cool. So that's like cool because there's two female newsworthy stuff that, you know, throughout the world and stuff, because, you know, Genevieve got a lot of fucking, she got a lot of recognition because of the internet and everybody was sharing her stuff and whatnot. And it's so cool. You know, I feel like I saw a post where they were like, oh, by 2030, we're going to have females in MLB. I wouldn't mind it. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I wouldn't mind seeing if a female is good enough to play in baseball.
Let's go.
Can I help
the Red Sox?
Yeah. There's no reason, like, in general, to keep women out of baseball. There really isn't. I saw someone tweet about, you know, it seems like the main reason, a lot of women aren't in baseball is because, they're forced to switch to softball at some point throughout their lives. Because you can't play baseball. Well, why can't they? Like, Jose Altuve is 5'8" and is one of the best hitters of his generation. Like, size doesn't matter. Like, in baseball, it's mostly skill. Like,
mm-hmm. Hand eye coordination. Sport.
There's no reason that women can't play baseball. No reason.
Agreed.
No, there isn't. I mean, you know, it's definitely a different sport and whatnot. But when I watched my nephew play football in the fall, the tackle mm-hmm. football. There was girls playing tackle football, and some of the girls that were playing were better than the boys.
Dude, I had a girl playing my tackle football league growing up. She played defensive tackle. She was fucking mean.
It's just fucking crazy. Like, it's 2022. It's time for a change. Seriously.
You know what's cool too is we're seeing from Australia. Really just how global the game of baseball is that we're bringing in females, both in managerial roles, in executive roles, in player roles, and that it's happening throughout the world. You know, I think that's awesome.
It is awesome. I mean, you have the door gets kicked in by, let's just say, Kim Ng. It gets kicked in there. Then we get a Bianca. Fuck, what's her last name? She works for the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, are you thinking about?
It's Bianca something. I don't remember her last name.
I'm going with Rachel. Raquel.
Nope.
Raquel Ferrara?
Nope. Bianca Smith.
Well, there is Raquel Ferrara. She works in the. She's an executive for the Red Sox.
Well, yeah, that's fine. But I'm talking about Bianca. She is a coach.
Good deal.
So she is the first African-American woman to serve as a professional baseball coach. So we got Bianca Smith. I know who you're talking about, Raquel, as well. So we're starting to get more women involved into baseball, whether it be front office.
Women have been getting involved a lot more in sports in general, like in managerial positions and coaching positions these last few years. Like, if people follow the European Premier League and soccer, Chelsea is actually they're one of the biggest clubs in the EPL. Their main brain trust is a Russian woman. And she's like rebuilt them in like less than a few years to be like a top power.
Not for nothing, but I'm sure there's thousands of better female umpires than Angel Hernandez.
Oh, so, I can guaranteed. Fucking guaranteed.
Like, long
millions,
overdue.
Millions.
We need to flood the game with female umpires to get these old dudes out of here because they fucking suck.
Correct. NBA has a few female referees.
Yeah, I'm happy. So.
MLB behind the times on that, but at least they're moving in the right direction. It's good.
I watch WWE and professional wrestling and stuff like that, and they just started putting female referees.
Yeah, it was weird that it like wasn't a thing before.
Like, yeah, even during the women's match, it was guys.
Yeah, it just wasn't a thing. AEW, like, they're the ones who started doing that, right? And it's like, why not?
I'm not sure if it was AEW. I think
they're the ones who I first saw do it.
Oh, either way, it was done. It was
so. What's the logic when you're having a fake match with predetermined outcomes? We only men can do that, right? Like, what kind
it's
of
so weird? Like, what
thinking is that? Like, it just. Delay, you know, behind the times, but it's cool to see things moving in the right direction.
We're not going to talk about how wrestling's fake because it's not fake.
Yep, it's totally real. Got it.
Hold on. Yeah, totally scripted. But let me ask you a question, Brady.
Sure.
Could you jump off the top rope onto somebody else without hurting yourself or them?
I could hurt them, but no, I probably would never get up ever again. No, they're
Yokozuna was fucking like 500 pounds and he used to sit on people's chests. Do you think that you would be able to do that? Okay, it might be fake, but there's a certain way that you have to sit on somebody's fucking chest so you don't fucking cave that shit in.
Dude, I respect the professionalism, the athleticism,
Anyway. Brady being muted, very tragic. He knows what it's like to be me these last few weeks.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about
fucking prick.
own him, Brady. Own that just, coward.
Yep. The big man sitting there with a mute button. Look at him, he's got a little bit of power.
Big mute man.
Yep.
Bring it back in.
Fuck both of you.
That's fucked up.
Oh, he's still muted.
He's still muted. You gotta unmute him.
I'm back.
Back on how fucked up it fucked up. That's pretty fucked up.
Pretty fucked up. All right.
All right. So let's talk about this game. First and foremost, this was Mariano Rivera actually was on a plane the entire day from Panama. Getting back to New York because the game was in New York. And I was shocked they put him in the game. I mean, the guy was on a plane for fucking ever. So
now you know why he was on the plane, right?
Yeah, there was a death in his family, I believe it was.
Yeah, at his home in, I want to believe it was, I don't know if it was Panama or Venezuela, I can't remember. I believe it was like his nephew or his cousin. Went to like, you know, look at the pool or something like that. And there was a wire that was not grounded properly.
Oh,
yeah.
That sucks.
Yep.
Can I just say, it's like weird, like looking back, like at 04, it's like, you know, Mo's wearing 42, which obviously it's 40 war until like they changed it. But it's like, it's just weird for me to see like anyone wearing 42.
He wore it until he retired.
Oh yeah. Cause they gave him an exception.
No, mm-hmm. He was grandfathered in. Once they implemented that, the Jackie Robinson, they retired that number. Anybody who wore that number, I believe Mo Vaughn also was able to wear that number for maybe a year. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Sounds right. Checks out.
Hold on. I want to.
It's just weird seeing any player wear 42. It's weird.
Yeah, they retired the number in 1997. And Mo Wong, when he was with the Red Sox. Because I know he wore 42 his entire career.
Yeah, I think it was anyone that was currently wearing that number was allowed to, but nobody knew. Nor could you switch to it if you wanted to. So
yeah, so he was on the Red Sox when they retired the number. And he wore 42 for the Angels, and he also wore 42 for the Mets. Fun fact, he was born in Norwalk, Connecticut, which is about an hour from where I live.
Pretty cool.
Fun fact, he's a real estate mogul now, making huge money. Go Mo.
Good for him, dude.
Fun fact, he's annoying to watch on NESN.
At least he's not Dave O'Brien, you know?
Really does bring it home. That brings it home. Yep.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, you could be the worst person. Like, I don't know who I'd rather listen to, Dave O'Brien or fucking Angel Hernandez. They're both fucking terrible.
Yeah, pick your
poison. I'd listen to Joe West.
But not his country album.
Nope. All right, so let's start. Umpires for this game, home plate was Randy Marsh. First base was Jeff Nelson. Second base was John Hirschbeck.
Do it.
Third base was Jim Joyce. Left field was Jeff Kellogg. Right field was Joe West.
Oh God, Jim Joyce. That's giving me flashbacks.
The attendance was 56,135. Start time weather was 59 degrees. The wind was 9 miles per hour from left to right and cloudy. That's actually pretty warm for a fucking October game.
Mm-hmm.
So the Red Sox actually lost this game. 10
oh, did they?
To 7. Fuck you. They called this Yankee Stadium 2?
Electric Boogaloo?
I don't know why they would fucking call this a Yankee Stadium 2, because it was the original Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. Yeah. The duration of the game was 3 hours and 20 minutes, as is almost every fucking Red Sox Yankees game. The starting pitchers were Mike Mussina and Curt Schilling. And it was a typical 2004 lineup for the Boston Red Sox. Damon, Bellhorn, Ramirez, Ortiz, Mala, Nixon, Veritek, Cabrera, and Miller. So did you guys watch the game, or are you guys just looking up stats and stuff?
I've got that burned in my memory, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Dude,
you doubt Brad or Brady? You doubt Brady and like his memory of 04.
Okay. So who pitched after Schilling?
I know Timlin was in there. I know Folk was in there. After that, there was another relief. Wakefield.
All right. So Folk was the last pitcher. Timlin was the pitcher before him. So who was after Schilling?
Was it Wake?
No, it was Laskanik. I thought you had it burned into your memory. So you're lying.
Smart ass Brad over here.
Yeah. There's Brad. Not looking at stats or anything. Yeah.
You're fucking lying. I watched the fucking games.
So, okay.
I literally watched.
We're going to have you put your hands up, and you're going to tell me every pitcher that pitched in game two in order of appearance.
For the Red Sox?
Yep.
Curt Schilling, Kurt Laskanik, Romero Mendoza, Tim Wakefield, Alan Embry, Mike Timlin.
Too bad I said game two, you piece of crap.
No, you didn't say game two.
Yes,
he
I did. Did.
He did. He did say game two.
Yeah, now you're clicking on game two so you can be a dick about it. Stop.
I didn't fucking do anything, dude.
Yeah. Okay, let's go. Let's go.
four guys pitched. It was Pedro. I know Falk pitched. Embry, like, pitched every fucking game.
Yep.
And Timlin?
Yep.
Checks out.
It was Pedro, Timlin, Embry, and Folk. In that order.
What was it now? Pedro, then who?
Timlin.
That's right. That's just right.
That checks out.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good old, this is a big game, though. Game one's a big game old, here.
Big old baseball reference for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a pretty big game, and it started off like shit because Schilling, you know, the Red Sox went 1-2-3.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Mussina was so good. So good.
Yeah, he was definitely – he was fucking amazing.
And this is Schilling's first appearance after the injury.
And the ankle injury, which was – he didn't actually, like, jump over the line or anything. He injured himself during the last play.
Fielding?
He was fielding it, and he threw it to first, and then something happened with his ankle.
Yeah, he had no power this game one. You know, he was really just laboring the entire time. Absolutely nothing.
At the bottom of the first, I mean, so let's go through the top of the first. We had a strikeout for Johnny Damon, a fly ball to center field by Bellhorn, and then a ground out to first base that was thrown to Mussina, who covered first base. So he threw how many pitches did he throw? I think he threw like 7 pitches that inning. It was fucking crazy.
Work hard.
Yeah, it was. Five. It was 11 pitches. Schilling had a fly ball to right field for Derek Jeter and Rodriguez. Then Gary Sheffield hit a double to left field. Matsui hit a double to center field. Sheffield ended up scoring. Bernie Williams hit a single to center field. It was ground ball. Matsui scored. And then Jorge Posada ground out to second base. So it was not a good start for Schilling at all. Mm-mm. And then it went down. It was like basically downhill from there for the Red Sox. He wasn't, I wouldn't say downhill from there, because his second inning was 1-2-3.
Yeah, not the third.
Nope. Third was a bad inning.
You know, you really do kind of wonder, like, you know, they knew, you know, what he was throwing down there. Just surprised that Bronson Arroyo doesn't get the nod, or Wakefield, because the start, you know, he was a non-competitive performance because of the injury. To be down 6-0 in game one against your arch rivals is not a good position to be in.
Nope. No. It's not. So top of the second and the bottom of the second, both sides went 1-2-3. I keep, you know, it's so weird seeing Kenny Lofton with the pinstripes on, and I forgot about it. And like you and I were talking about it, I believe it was like a week or so ago. We were talking about the Kenny Lofton thing, and I was like, when you think Kenny Lofton, what team do you think? And not one person said New York Yankees. Indians. Most people said the Indians.
Yeah.
So Mussina was a fucking beast in this game, honestly. He went 1-2-3 in the third, and then Schilling didn't.
He didn't. No.
Nope. He did not. He faced 8 batters, and he gave up 4 runs and 3 of them hits, 3 for hits. And then Mussina came out, 3 up, 3 down. Kurt Lisanek comes out in the fourth. Your ace only goes 3 innings and gives up 6 runs. That's not good.
Nope.
That does not check out.
Every Yankee fan I know calling me up and fuck with me in that moment, down 6-0, doesn't look good. Not feeling too good.
No. And luckily enough, like I wasn't into baseball, like I was into baseball, but I wasn't like as deep into it as I am now. And I didn't really have anybody that would just like call me up and be like, ha 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 ha. You know, now it's like you got social media, text messaging, and all that shit. And I'm sure if this happened now, yeah, I would hear it. So Lisanek comes in. He faces 4 batters. Then Moose comes out, top of the fifth, 4, 5, and 6. He gets everybody. He gets Ortiz and Millar swinging strikeouts. And then he gets Trout Nixon to ground out to the pitcher. So that's your fifth inning. Romero Mendoza comes in. He faces four in the fifth. Of course, Mussina only faces three in the sixth. And then on the bottom of the sixth, Tim Wakefield comes in. I always got nervous with Wakefield. Like, I know he was a knuckleballer, and it was, you know, his ball, like, had a lot of movement and stuff. But if people got a hold of it and it was just stale, it was gone.
He was always way more effective in the summer. Seemed like when the weather got cold, the ball didn't do, you know, its normal thing. But yeah, seeing Wakefield, this is Wakefield's first appearance in Yankee Stadium in a playoff environment. The last one before that, of course, is Aaron fucking Boone.
Okay. Thank you for correcting that.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm sorry. Yep. So, you know, the fans were fans are going nuts, you know, cause like they want all of Wakefield. And he promptly doesn't pitch all that effective. In his lone inning,
he gave a fucking home run up to the very first batter he faced, who was Kenny Lofton.
Yeah,
dude, I swear with
the right field
with like every knuckleballer, I feel like it's like with Mario Party with a dice block of 1 to 10. Every knuckleball is like you hitting that dice block, like whether like how good it is. Like,
oh yeah,
it's just completely random. You have no clue.
You know what was cool about him? They picked him up, Wakefield, from the Pirates, and he was great for the Pirates. And then he lost it. Like, he was an all-star, and then it just all fell apart. Sox pick him up, and it didn't take that long, and all of a sudden he went on a winning streak. I think he won like something like 12 starts in a row or something crazy like that. He was phenomenal. I remember what year it was, maybe 96 or some shit.
Like, these knuckleballers, dude. Like, remember when R.A. Dickey won a Cy Young?
Oh, yeah.
Like, just with a knuckleball?
Yeah, like, it's just – honestly, I'm shocked that there's not more guys floating around the minors. You don't really hear about them anymore.
It's like
the last knuckleballer that I know was Stephen Wright.
The Orioles had a guy this year.
Like, if you're a dude like in the minors with like mediocre stuff, like, I don't understand like why you don't like either A, become a knuckleballer, or B, like, learn how to pitch submarine style.
Right.
Just like to fill that niche.
Mickey Janis.
Yeah, he got tagged too. He got tagged pretty good.
Yeah. Because, like, who's that one submarine style pitcher in the league now? God damn it, what's his name? And he said, like, oh, yeah, you know, I was out of the league. And then, like, my dad just convinced me to pitch like this, and I got a job in the league.
Is it that I don't know how to say his name. Is it Chisak or something like that?
Chisak? Oh, yes. Yeah, him. God damn it.
I think he's a New England guy, too.
I think, he might be.
I know he's a free agent. And I know where I'd like to see that weird delivery over and over again.
Mm. I think it's like just good for a niche. Like, I'm surprised we just don't see that kind of stuff more. And knuckleballers are just will never not be fun. Like, I love them.
I hate them.
Oh,
well, fuck you.
Well, you know what they would used to say is they used to love to put Wakefield at times between Schilling and Pedroia, like in the middle of a series.
Schilling and Pedroia, huh? Not Pedro. Sorry.
Schilling and Pedro, thank you. If you put Wakefield in the middle of a series, he would fuck everything up. Or at the start of a series, because you're all fucked up, and then it's like makes life easier on the next two starting pitchers.
Yeah, your expectations of what you're looking for is just like gone.
Yep.
Wakefield was one of those guys. Like, I love Wakefield as a player, but it's like when the knuckleball was on, I loved it. And I understood why Francona kept him in. I understood that because he's not using a lot of force on his arms. So, I mean, like, he can throw 160 pitches if he needed to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, if he was getting shelled, they wouldn't go to the fucking bullpen. They would just let him get shelled.
Well, because someone's got to save the pen. And, you know, they're like, it's you, Tim. You know what I mean? Like, you're the guy. But
what do you think his career ERA was?
Just around four.
4.65.
You're a little bit closer than Brady there, Hockdale. He was 4.41.
Yeah, not surprised.
Not bad for that time.
No, it's not. I mean,
not at all.
He had a 34.4 WAR.
Huh.
career war.
Not bad.
200 wins, 180 losses, so he's over 500.
That's a lot of wins for a starting pitcher, man.
Right, but he also saved 22 games, too.
I remember that year, too. That was, like, the weirdest fucking thing. They were like, we don't have a closer.
Let me go look at his nerd stats real quick.
When they fucking brought him in, and you'd have a knuckleballer trotting out in the ninth, and you're like, shutting it down. You know what I mean?
He led the leagues in hit by pitches in 1997 and in 2001.
That's like the least painful hit by pitch that you could have.
Yeah, he.
Okay, no. He led the entire majors in 1997 with 16 hit by pitches. In 18, he just led the American League.
Brad, in 93, he's pitching for the Pirates. 94, he's not even in Major League Baseball. 95, right. Sox pick him up. He goes 16-8 with a 2.95 ERA. 16-8.
That's kind of crazy.
That's fucking crazy, dude. And he pitched 195 innings.
Unbelievable. I remember it was so fun. It was just like, yep, there's another good fucking performance.
How about 2002? Over and over. Like 2.81 ERA. 2.81 ERA, and he had a 1.62 ERA plus.
Like, he was really, when he was on, he was really on. And when he was off, he was really off.
Cookie factory, you know?
Yeah. You know, he, there was really not a whole lot of him. You didn't get 5 innings, 3 runs too often. You'd get like 7 innings, 1 run, or like 4 innings, 7 runs. Like, that's what it was. Wake.
It's so amazing. Like 225 and a third innings. He pitched that in 2005.
He's like, I got it. Don't worry.
Like nowadays, the amount of, in 19 years that he pitched 3,226 and a third innings. Come on, Wake. You couldn't get that four? That 4K? Come on.
Dude, he was there for almost 16 years. And I remember the gripe for Wakefield in 2011 was that he was adamant when he was done, but he wanted to stay in the starting rotation. Cause I think it was at like 197, 198 wins, something like that. And he wanted to get 200 with the Red Sox. And I don't think he ever got it. I'm not sure, but I don't think he ever got it. And that was during the big slide in 2011.
He got 186 with the Red Sox.
Yeah, he really wanted to get 200. Never was to come, but during that 2011 slide, he was toast and kept trying him out.
I'm just wondering, like, how do you, like, fall off a cliff as a knuckleballer? How does that work?
I mean, I think, you know, just really his, you know, he's getting older. You know what I mean?
He was 44 when he fucking retired.
Yeah. I mean, you know, 44 years old, throwing the pitches, trying to field it, cover first base. You know, I mean, it's not easy.
It was the best, like, Tim, like, when he just, like, threw a regular fastball, really cranked up the heat there, like a 76, little 76 mile per hour.
Whatever. What weirded me out was the curveball, because he would throw, like, not a lot, but he would throw, like, a random curveball every once in a while. And it's like, that's worse than a fucking knuckleball when you're expecting a knuckleball.
Yeah.
But just think about it, man. He came in, what'd you say? He got 22 saves? Enough. Well, the one season, he got 15 in 1 year. All right.
Yeah. He got 15 in 1999.
You don't, knuckleballers are going to walk people. They're going to hit people. They're going to put people on base. You don't, I mean, the idea of bringing in a knuckleball pitcher in a close game and you go like this, you got to get results. That's like,
move over Mariano Rivera. We're bringing in Tim Wakefield. The true shutdown closer.
And how about this? Holy shit. In 1999, he had 15 saves in 15 opportunities. Means he didn't blow one fucking save.
That's true. He blew three.
No. In 2000, wait, 99?
Yeah, 99, he blew three.
All right. It says 15 saves, 15 save opportunities.
18.
He blew three, almost as many dudes as you blew last year, Brad.
Times that by two. you thought you were trying to make a funny there, but hey, you know.
Did a funny. Fucking die.
All right. Back to the game.
Yeah, back to the game.
Back to the game.
So fucking Mussina ends up getting into trouble in the seventh inning.
Well, because he sat for so fucking long.
The Red Sox got 5 hits, 5 runs. So now it's Yankees 8, Red Sox 5. My favorite hit in this game. So I looked up the stats after this. David Ortiz hit fucking how many? I think it was 8 triples in his career.
That sounds right. I'll check it, but I'm pretty sure that's right.
I wasn't looking up Coney.
Big Tone.
David Poppy.
Now, I'm not sure if you guys are Tim McCarver fans because you either love him or you hate him.
He had 19 career triples.
He had 2 career triples in the playoffs.
Right. And one of them was in ALCS game 1.
What a waste of a triple.
So he had 21 career triples, right? And 2 of them were in the postseason, and one of them was in this game. And I swear to God, when you let David Ortiz hit a triple, you know you done fucked up. Watching Ortiz hit a triple is more impressive than Ortiz hitting a home run.
True.
It really that checks out.
It sure does. I wanted to tell you, so Tim McCarver at this point, love him or hate him.
Oh, hold on. Let me ask you a question about Tim McCarver.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I watched these games, right, in the past week. Is it me or does this fucking asshole like screaming into the microphone?
I mean, it was pretty loud at Yankee Stadium, so.
Yeah, but Buck was not screaming like this guy. This guy was like talking like this. He's like, David Ortiz just hit a triple and now he's at third base and Matsui missed that. And it was like, bro.
Listen, he had to make up for, you know, 2004 Joe Buck, who, you know, didn't really have much energy.
Right. I kind of think that's what it was. But I always thought one thing that was kind of cool was McCarver said it. Sox are down 8-0. They score 7 runs in 2 innings to make it an 8-7 game. And it was like, win or lose, I remember saying, for them to come off the mat to be down by 8 runs and show back, he's like, this might – he said – he goes – this might come back to bite the Yankees later in the series because it shows the Red Sox we can still play with these guys.
Right.
And that was the feeling after game 1 was we can still play.
Can I complain about something a little bit into the future because I don't really care that much? It's about Joe Buck, so I think you guys will love to hear it. Because usually I'm the resident Joe Buck defender here. I think he's usually all right. Like, I was listening back to the highlights today trying to, you know, refresh my memory. And, like, just, like, after game 7 when they win – and, like, Joe Buck's like, the Red Sox win the pennant. Like, that's the call? That's the call you make? That's the call. You come back from 0-3 down to win the series, and the Red Sox win the pennant.
Yeah, because he's
that's like, the best you can do.
He's a Cardinals fan. He grew up a Cardinals fan. His dad used to call the Cardinals games.
That's when you're complaining about McCarver that I'm like, honestly? I preferred McCarver. I did too. But if I had to pick.
Did McCarver call 2013?
I doubt it. That doesn't sound
right. I'm not sure. I think he called 2007, though.
He probably would have. He probably would have in 07.
When did he hold on?
2013 sounds kind of far down. Hogdale's gone. I don't know if, I mean, he's frozen and he's happy in that picture. Yeah, which is nice, and it's not as ass crack, so that's good. That checks out.
That does check out. Hold on. I'm snagging that picture.
Fuck it, why not? Hey, bud.
Hey, bud. How you doing?
I'm just great. don't know. I guess my internet connection there just kind of like stuttered.
I was not working well. Surprising. As he freezes again. He couldn't even defend his great state of Iowa. Yep. It just can't happen. So Brad, that was the big thing I got from this game, though, was, yes, it when the game's over, Schilling, he's really not healthy. But, man, the Sox battled back. And it gave some life.
Fucking Hogdale, dude. He was fucking – hold on. He was giving you shit earlier. I'm going to kick him from the studio real quick. There we go.
So that's what I remember when game one is done. That was my feeling was, all right, we fought back a little bit because Yankee fans were fucking nervous like a motherfucker. Because my friends were calling me and they're like, all my Yankee buddies were like, dude, what the fuck you guys doing? And I was like, I don't know. 8-7, I'm getting kind of like, are we coming back from 8-0? Is that what we're going to do? And I was like, no.
No.
We're going to get close, but.
I will say this, that watching them lose the first three games was very – it was upsetting. Oh, look at this. He fucking decides to come back again. Are you fucking done playing games?
Are you?
Dude, you were frozen.
Yeah.
You clowns slandering my state when I'm like unable to defend myself. Unbelievable.
Honestly, like, don't say you guys. That motherfucker was the one that fucking.
I did it Iowa. Prior to Iowa.
It was cutting in and out. So I just heard like, oh, Iowa. And I'm like, I'm fucking.
It went perfectly.
It reminds me of like that running joke on Family Guy where like it's just like Seth MacFarlane like meta like.
That's great.
Oh man, he fucking froze again. What happened?
Put me back, you cunt! In the backstage, I fucking hate you. God damn it, Sapphire. Have you? Is that where? God damn it, she left me. I can't even like go to her. See what she wants.
Everything's falling apart. It's all falling apart.
It's gone awry. It's all gone awry.
Let's go to game two. Game two wasn't nearly as bad. They still had the same results. Fucking Red Sox lose.
Surprisingly low scoring game against the Sox Yanks.
Yeah, right.
Who's your daddy? Who was the starting pitcher for the
John Lieber.
Yeah, who the fuck was like? I don't remember him.
Oh, he was good. He's from the Cubs. He was good. He reminded me a little bit of John Lackey, you know, kind of like, you know, big build kind of guy.
You know, good, solid pitcher. There was two players that I hated on the Yankees.
Who's you
in this series? Olerud and Tony Clark.
Why would you hate John Olerud?
I mean.
Johnny O? He's great.
Yeah, he used to play for the Red Sox. He was the guy that used to wear the helmet at first instead of a hat.
There's like a normal game. Jorge Posada was the one that I hated more than anything in the world.
I mean, I hated a lot of guys on that team. Pretty much everybody that was on that team I hated. The only person I didn't hate and I respected was Mariano Rivera.
That checks out.
Yes.
Maybe Derek Jeter, but I mean, I hated both of them because they were Yankee fans, or Yankee players. They played for the Yankees.
I was a big Bernie guy. Really like Bernie.
I liked O'Neill.
Oh, come on. That's a little too.
He was on the Reds. And I also remember when he kicked the ball.
Eric. Oh, yeah. That was great.
It was like fucking so pissed off. He's like, fuck you! And he kicked the ball to first base. And it was like a fucking perfect kick, too.
Yep, yep.
So this game, it was Pedro and John Lieber. Pedro ended up losing the game. Mariano got a save. Shocker. Olerud hit a homer. Another reason why I don't like him.
Hey, Mariano, you say got a save? Yep. He got a save in game one as well. So at this point in the series, he's 2-for-2 in save opportunities.
Right.
I think that's important just to note right now.
That is important to note because as games 4, 5, 6, and 7 go on, we will be talking less about saves for Mariano Rivera, and that checks out.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Sure does. So it was, I mean, Pedro looked good this game.
He had, let's take a sec here. He pitched six innings. He gave up four hits, three runs, four walks, seven strikeouts. One of them was a home run. He gave that to John Olerud. He pitched good. He pitched well. You know, he pitched good enough for the team. He just didn't pitch good enough to win.
Well, the lack of offense there, especially after scoring seven runs in just a couple innings, the way the Sox finished game one, it was really concerning that they came out so flat offensively against John Lieber's not Mike Mussina, right? John Lieber was a good
pitcher. John Lieber went into the fucking eighth inning.
Don't tell me. He also pitches game six rather well, too. But John Lieber was a solid pitcher for the Yankees.
How'd you know that? Did you use your future site?
I can't believe it either. Yeah.
But game three,
the offense was just a no-show.
Well, game three offense showed up for the Yankees. They showed up for the Red Sox a little bit. Not so much, though. I mean, they showed up in the first three innings.
I was there for that fucking game. Trust me, that was the worst game I've been to in my entire life. And Matt Barnes didn't even play. So that's saying a lot.
Oh, I have one of those little calendars where you'd like tear off like did you know type facts or whatever.
Yeah.
There was a Matt Barnes fact that pulled up that I forgot to fucking show you. He like got like 15.9 strikeouts per nine innings or whatever. In 2000 and was it 18, 19? I don't remember what year it was, but he had a good percentage of strikeouts per nine. So
I really think with Matt Barnes, if they could somehow really insulate him as an eighth inning guy and not overuse him, I would love to see what happens at the end of the season.
Yeah, whatever.
But it sucks to have a guy that you think is that good, but you go like this. Can't use him too often because he gets a little tired, right? I mean, like, that sucks.
Right. Do you want to talk about game three or do you want to talk about Matt Barnes?
I really want to talk about game three.
Because you know what I want to talk about, Brad, is, like, did you see my really well-thought-out rebuttal to, like, your slander that you put out on Twitter.com here a few minutes ago? I put out a very, very well-thought-out rebuttal. You know, I really, really proud of myself on this one.
I don't understand that. I don't know what that means.
What do you mean?
I have real internet. You do not.
Whatever. You're such an asshole.
All right, asshole. All right. Let's talk about game three now. Dick.
That's funny. Yeah, Brad fucking posted on Twitter, like, look at this asshole. He froze. And he said, look, he came back and froze again. Total dick. He
turned and then froze again. What an asshole.
And my eloquent response to that was, I said, you're an actual ass clown.
we saw your ass clown.
Yeah, we saw your fucking ass clown. I just retweeted what I tweeted.
You're such an asshole. Fuck you. Oh my god, I'm winning, right? I'm catching dubs.
All right, game three. Brady was at this game. The Yankees won 19-8. The Red Sox had not Kevin Brown. They had
Bronson Arroyo.
He actually pitched really good this game, didn't he? No, I was thinking about the ALD.
Yeah, ALDS. Hold that for the future, my friend. Not right now.
Was it game six?
No. Game six, Schilling pitches his triumphant comeback. That's the Bloody Sox game. Maybe.
May or may not happen.
Yeah, I can neither confirm or deny.
I can neither deny or confirm this.
This is a shit show of a fucking base. My father and I are there. This is my first.
When did you walk out of the park?
We stayed the whole thing. My father would never leave a game early, which, by the way, keep that statement in mind going forward, maybe.
Yeah, I remember hearing this story.
So I was like, Dad.
Where he wanted to leave early during one game, and you were like, no, Dad, and then they won.
Right. Well, that's a really important game, too. But so we're there, and I'm like, I don't remember what the fuck it was, but it was like whatever the score And it was like, the game's over without whatever. And he's like, nah, we're not leaving. You never know. You just never know.
1998, you never know.
So I think right after, yeah, I think the seventh inning when it was, let's see, it was 6, 11, 13, 17 to 6. I think I was like, hey, Dad, we got a 3.5 hour drive, buddy. And I got to work the next day,
buddy.
Right. Maybe it's time to head home. And he's like, Ryan, you never know. And I was like, no, we do. Like,
the ultimate optimist. The ultimate optimist.
The game started at 8:10. It was a 4 hour and 20 minute game, which is a Red Sox Yankee game.
Fuck.
Right. And hold on 1 second. I'll tell you how cold it was. I'll tell you exactly how cold it was. It started off, it was 57 degrees.
Not by the time it was fucking 1:30 in the morning, it was like they ran out of hot chocolate at the game.
Yeah, they probably stopped selling it at the seventh inning.
Well, it was like cold chocolate by the end of it. It was fucking freezing. Clam chowder selling like a motherfucker.
The optimism is like, it's like me, like during like the Tom Brady Patriots era, where it's like they're down like by 50. I'm like, yeah, they're gonna come back. Fuck it, they're gonna win.
Oh yeah, it was unbelievable. I'm like,
then he had that level 11. Of optimism though about like the 04 Red Sox at the time, like considering the history, is like so admirable.
Oh yeah, no, my father was like, no, we're not leaving this shit. We're gonna miss the greatest comeback ever, and I'm like, it's not happening, Dad.
So man. How many of the games did you go to for the ALCS?
Games 3, 4, and 5. I was at all of them.
So you drove 6 hours each day.
And one of the days there was a rain out. I can't remember which one it was. Oh. So we drove, I believe it's after game 4, before game 5. There's a rain out. We drove about 2.5 hours and stopped. And we're like, they didn't call it yet. And we're sitting at the rest stop eating a Roy Rogers. And then it was like, oh, so then we had to drive all the way back to then go back again the next day. So we did drive. I'm going to count it as 4 drives. There was a rain out.
No, the games 3, 4, and 5 were played 16, 17, and 18.
Then maybe it was before game 3. There was a rain out in there somewhere.
I think it was, it looks like game 3. It was October 13th. So that, yeah, it was game 3. It would have been game 3.
Yep.
Because game 3, there would be a day for travel, which doesn't make sense for a Red Sox Yankees game. So it would have been 14 would have been travel day. 15 would have been the game. And so it was played on the 16th.
Yeah, because I remember we got 2.5 hours there, and then we stopped, and we drove back. So that's 5 hours.
That's rough.
Of driving for absolutely no reason. Went to work every single day the next day.
Brady was on that.
So you drove a total of 23 hours.
That sounds about right. Yeah. Well, half. My dad and I split it. You know what I mean?
Rough.
Well, you both were in a fucking car for 23 hours. For that
he's
week.
The best person you'd ever be in a car with by a lot, because we would listen to every playoff game. It was great.
Before we separate after the pod tonight, we mm-hmm. three need to talk.
Okay.
So it's no. actually a oh, very right. serious
Grant's in trouble.
Well, it is about Grant. So he is in trouble.
Should him die of cancer?
No,
why did no one tell me? What the fuck?
There's no easy way to say this, Brad.
I have lycoma.
Yeah. You're dying of AIDS.
Christ. Oh,
sorry, I gave them to you.
That is there's fake. No card for that.
That's you fake know what news.
I,
mean?
I could totally make news. One.
That would be nice. Make one.
All right, so 1908.
The Yankees had 22 hits in the game.
Yep, that's 22 hits. One error. The Red Sox had 15, and they only had eight runs. It was fucking...
It was infuriating.
Was this the game that Olerud got hurt?
That could be.
That I could believe be. Olerud did get hurt in this game.
Yeah, he's replaced by Tony Clark.
Yeah.
Who may or may not have a huge moment in game 5. Or excuse me, game 4? I don't know. But later in the series, there's a huge moment that involves Tony Clark. Maybe. Maybe. Possibly.
Yeah, nobody cares. Fuck Tony Maybe. Clark. That guy's a piece of shit.
The one cool thing, Brad, after this game, after the 19-8 drop, was it dredging? I don't know what the term is, but as they got their asses handed to them, I did meet Peter Gammons in the hallway walking out Fenway, and I had a talk really? For like a minute or two about off-season moves the Red Sox might make. Because at 3-0 or down 0-3, yeah,
I was pretty hopeful, huh?
I was thinking about 0-5, and just like the core is together. What if we do this, Peter? And he's like, they have to do something. Something has to be done, right? And I was like, all right, nice guy. Not a very happy Yankee fans were very, very loud at Fenway.
Oh God, I bet
they're chirping like you never heard ever before. It sucked a lot.
So the funny thing is both starting pitchers only go two innings. And can I just say how much like fuck I want to punch Joe Torre in the face? Like, it's not even the fact that he was the manager of the Yankees or whatever. That guy had the most sourpuss face ever. He was always like, it was the most annoying. Like, A-Rod has a punchable face, but like Joe Torre, like I swear to God, dude, I'm gonna screenshot it and like send it to you guys to show you like. The every fucking like face that Joe Torre makes is.
Oh yeah.
It was so.
He's a hoop. He's a hoop.
You know who he reminds me of, and I actually like this guy as a coach. He reminds me of Bill Belichick. Sourpuss face.
Yeah,
I can see. Yeah, but Belichick is just funny to me. Like it. It doesn't irritate. It just kind of makes me laugh.
Oh, I mean, like, I listen to
WEEI. Where he's just like such an asshole all the time, consistently.
I listen to WEEI every morning, and he comes on Mondays at 6:30, and I'll listen to it, and he's like, yeah, that's not what I was thinking about. No. Okay. So, all right, guys. We talked about the first three games. How do we feel about the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh games? I'm feeling very good.
Yeah, just pretty hopeful.
I feel like if Brady's dad was here, he would give us like that pep talk saying, hey, you know what? It could always happen.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Now, the only thing is before game four, all right, Schilling pitch game one looked like garbage, right? Pedro pitch.
Oh, Brady's got fake internet too.
Oh, can you hear me?
I can hear him.
You can hear you now, but you were.
All right. Sorry about that. So
we haven't talked about, we haven't watched fucking games four, five, six, and
no,
seven.
No. So what I'm saying is leading up when game three is over, Schilling is not going to be available. Pedro is not going to be available. Bronson Arroyo is not going to be available. And they use Wakefield a ton in this game. So he's not going to be available. So the only possible starting pitcher available for game four is Derek Lowe, who at this point was so awful, he could not even be entrusted in any way, shape, or form to be a starting pitcher. That's how things were going into game four, was the guy who was the fucking bum, horrible season. I think he had 5.5 ERA. That's who the nation turned its lowly eyes to, you, Derek Lowe.
He was on like his Martin Perez grind.
Oh yeah, complete and utter.
And he was trusted to do anything.
A couple years prior, he was an all-star starter. He was a great closer, and he just sucked.
I didn't realize that 2004 was his last season with the Red Sox. He had a 5.42 ERA.
Yep, I believe he went to the Dodgers. Got a big money deal, maybe because he pitched well. After game four, I don't know.
Talk about a bad big money deal to give out.
Yeah. He led all major leagues in 2011 with 17 losses.
That's impressive.
But he also led all major leagues with 34 games starting.
Who was he playing for?
Atlanta.
Oh, that would have been a really bad Atlanta team.
Yeah, he bounced around quite a bit at the end. He pitched for the Yankees a little bit there.
Cleveland, Yankees, Texas.
Did he go to the Mets at all or no?
No.
No?
It's about the Mets, baby.
No, sir.
Yeah, so you're not really feeling so hot. 19-8. You're your top four starting pitchers are unavailable and you're turning to a guy who had a 5.5 ERA and was not good enough to pitch in any postseason game of importance. That's who you're turning the ball to. Down 0-3, getting your ass kicked by 11 runs. What up? And Gary Sheffield hit a fucking home run that went to like...
Yeah, I saw that one.
For game three?
Yeah.
I love Gary Sheffield's batting stance so much.
A-Rod crushed one. It was like batting practice, and it was terrible. We had really, really good seats on the first baseline, and we just got to see just the launch was just unbelievable.
All right, gentlemen, it was a pleasure having you on, as always. We're an hour and 25 minutes in. That was game 1, 2, and 3. Kind of disappointing to be talking about it, but we'll talk about 4, 5, 6, and 7 if they go 7 games. Also, if anybody made it this long into the podcast, please go see our buddy Andrew Bellevue. That's at jingle_bells_25 on Twitter. And also, if you want to make a donation to the foundation, the gastroparesis. Did I say that right? Am I saying that right?
Gastroparesis.
It is G. A hyphen? G-PACT.
Yes.
PACT.org. All three of us are going to join in the Pie Face Challenge. And we will throw it up on our social media accounts, and we will tweet it at Andrew as well. And if you'd like to join, please make sure to join and make a video. It would help our buddy Andrew. It will help give out, what's the word I'm looking for? Because I didn't know about this.
Get the message out.
Get the message out. Spread the word. I always have that like brain fart for that, but like get the word out, let people know of the situation of this disease. I'm going to make a donation under the podcast for $100, and I hope everybody else out there donates $5, whatever it is that you can donate. So, gentlemen, thank you. I look forward to seeing you guys do your pie face stuff tomorrow.
Can't wait.
Indubitably.
Thank you for listening to the Pesky Report. Make sure to follow us on social media at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Pesky Report. No matter what platform you're listening to us on, please make sure to leave us a review and a comment and let us know how we're doing. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.